Amen. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 8. And I want to talk about this morning as we continue in our series on the Gospels. I just want to remind you what we're trying to do here. We're prayerfully creating a culture as we go through the Gospels together. I pray that we are creating a culture for the miraculous. That we would be laying a foundation where we are people where the miraculous is expected and it becomes normal.
Amen.
When we talk about signs, wonders, miracles, the healing ministry of Jesus, it's so important that we remind ourselves this is normal Christianity. Right. And that we take off that, really, it's a religious excuse that says, but that was Jesus and I am me. Of course, Jesus would do those things, but I can never do those things because he's the Son of God. He had special something. And I'm not diminishing anything of the deity of Christ. You understand my heart here? But Jesus came living as an example of what can happen when a human being is rightly aligned with the Father. And lives out and demonstrates what a spirit-filled life can look like and a kingdom life looks like on this planet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even this last week, I was in a conversation with a pastor. We were talking about Jesus' healing ministry. And how many of us are thankful Jesus had a high success rate of healing? Amen? So he would go into towns, and the Bible just says, didn't even give a number, but he healed them all. That's kingdom math right there. Amen? Yeah. And I love that. But this pastor went on to say to me, he said, but of course he did. That was Jesus. And how many know that, like, right there, I mean, I have to part with that because I read somewhere that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that same Jesus, while he lives in me, he's also making intercession on my behalf in heaven. And so I can't just stop there and somehow give myself an excuse, a way out that says, yeah, Jesus will do those things, but I can't do the same things Jesus did. Jesus also said, greater things will you do if you believe. Am I preaching in the right crowd?
Yes.
So I'm just knowing that that's a promise for you. It's a promise for us as followers of his. Can you say amen? Just right now, take 1 minute and say, Lord, I receive that truth. That is from you. And I just declare that I am one who operates and functions in the miraculous. That miraculous, listen, miraculous kingdom advancing, signs, wonders, miracles, and healing is a part of my life. We're declaring that. Listen, we're declaring it right now over us. Lord, we just say amen to that. We say amen to that. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you said that signs and wonders, that these signs would follow those who believe. We just say amen to that.
Amen.
So that's what we're trying to do here, going through the Gospels. And so looking at Matthew 8, I want to talk to you this morning. I just have a question for you. I want to ask you, what do you see? What do you see? Look at Matthew 8, verse 23 through 27. This same miracle is recorded by Mark in Mark chapter 4 and Luke in Luke 8. But I want to ask you the question, what do you see? Like, how have you trained your eyes? What things do you gaze upon? What things get your attention? What things do you believe? Because how many know seeing really is believing?
Yeah.
Come on, it's just a matter of what you look at. It's a matter of how you've trained your spiritual lens to see. What do you see? And I want to propose to you that what we're about to read is really an example of two different lenses. And so let's read. Matthew 8, verse 23. I love the title, Wind and Wave Obey Jesus. How many just would say right now, you'd make another declaration, say, I'm going to make a commitment to never be out-obeyed by wind and water. Somebody say amen. If they can obey him, so can you. You're a good candidate. Amen. So now when Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. Listen, I want to just underscore that. The boat was covered with waves. Mark and Luke have different takes. It says that waves began to fill the boat. All right, so, but listen, but Jesus was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But Jesus said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, I want to just put a comma there and just say, I would pray that our response in that moment would be to, like, do the happy dance. Right? Just, I mean, throw down a party. We were sinking. We were going to die. Like, we saw our life flash before our eyes. And Jesus, whom we knew would do this, did exactly what we thought he would do. And it's like time to rejoice. Time to party, celebrate. Jesus, you rock! Yeah! All right, watch what these guys do. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? That word marveled is actually a nice word. Mark and Luke aren't so kind. They say they were fearful of him. Come on. I want to propose to you that when the supernatural invades the natural realm, that some people are uncomfortable with it. I want to challenge you in this house to be those who would celebrate when his world collides with this world to make this world look like that world. You know what we've done? Just look here real quick. You know what we've done oftentimes is we have tried to interpret his world through this world's lens. Because we've trained ourselves to see. Listen, we have trained these eyes to be the predominant interpretation lens that we look at life through. So when circumstances happen, how many just know it is our natural response to just to look at the natural circumstance and then consequences? Because look, we've informed ourselves with a body of information that I want to tell you this morning that when the kingdom of God comes, that past information doesn't add up anymore. Like kingdom math, how many just know that kingdom math is never 2 + 2 = 4? And so, listen, if we've raised ourselves, if we've been raised in this culture of seeing in the natural and believing what's only in the natural, when the supernatural comes and invades this world, we're automatically looking for categories and lenses to interpret that world and this world so that we're comfortable again. Come on. It's true. Don't think that you are not capable of looking at life like that. I'm just telling you right now, we do. We train ourselves to interpret things through this world's lens. And I want to suggest that's exactly what the disciples are doing. I don't know. Did they wake Jesus to say, Jesus, row harder? Help us, we're sinking. We need another hand to for a bucket because the boat's filling up with water. Wake up Jesus. He's there asleep. I mean, what were they thinking? Jesus comes and he deals with the root of the issue. Do you know that word rebuke is the same word that is oftentimes used when Jesus rebukes a demon spirit? So I don't know if he's rebuking the territorial demon or anything. All I know is that he wakes up and he deals with the root of the problem. There's a calm. Like that storm suddenly is gone, and it freaks the disciples out. I just want you to know, I want to be so hungry for God that when God shows up, there's a lens inside of me so hungry for him that it's like, yay, God, that was not what I was expecting. That's even better than what I thought you would do. I want to live life like that. How about you? But see, listen, I want to ask you, what do you see? What are you training your eyes to look at? I want you to know that your circumstance is not the body of information you need in life to interpret life through. You need a word from God. And whether it comes through the word, the Bible, or there's the word over your life, that I just want you to know this is how kingdom life is lived. We stand on his word over us. God, I don't understand this, but I do understand what you've said over me. And that's the anchor in my life that I'm standing on, period. Like, life can get really crazy. How many of you know that? And so I'll just say, when I just started hearing attorneys are going to show up in your property and all this stuff, my natural response, listen, the natural response is to say, oh my gosh, here we go. But I forced myself in that moment to say, God, that's not how I'm living life as a kingdom citizen. There is a higher word over this. God, what have you said over our property? I'm living there. And how many just know I slept really well the last few nights? Come on. Yeah. Listen. I want to propose to you that what I'm talking about isn't freaky, man. This is the deal. Why do we have a bunch of miserable and bored Christians in life? I'm just telling you right now, it's not to throw a stone. I'm just wondering if we're not living the deal. Like, if we're trying to live that which was meant to be supernatural, and we're trying to force it in the natural. Do you know what I'm saying? Or achieve it in the natural. That's the better way to say it. Are you with me? And it's miserable. Like, try having faith in the natural. I mean, what does that look like? Memorizing scripture. I'm all for it. Hey, memorize scripture, right? Memorize it. But if all we're doing is cramming information up here, I'm just telling you right now, that's not the supernatural life we've been called to. And I want to just tell you, what Jesus saw when he woke up and saw the wind and the wave is different than what the disciples saw. Come on. Radically different. I love Hollywood, don't you? Have you seen this scene on Hollywood? They butcher it. Here's Jesus laying on the side of a boat, and you just know behind the scenes somebody's pouring buckets of water over him, and he's sleeping, and he's just getting drenched, and you know, spitting water out and still sleeping. It's like, come on, people, really? He wasn't a freak, man. Luke said he was asleep on a pillow. So Jesus wakes up, sees the same storm the disciples see, and has an entirely different interpretation. We're not dying, guys. We're not dying. As a matter of fact, I think what was happening was Jesus not only was able to sleep well because he based his life on what the Father said over him. How many know Jesus knew the time and the hour when he would die? Yeah, that's right. He spent so much time in the Father's presence. God is giving him information. You see, at one point in his ministry, he begins to turn and say, it's my time. It says he set his face like flint towards Jerusalem. He knew his time was coming. And he knew, this ain't it. I'm going to take a nap. I don't know what's going on around me, but we're going to be okay. And even more than that, listen, even more than that, I think it was a test for the disciples. And I want to give you good news this morning. Listen. Well, here's the bad news. The bad news is all of us will face tests. I thought that was done, like, with my undergrad work. How about you, right? We will all face tests. Here's the good news. In the kingdom, right, a different lens, the tests we face in this life are never given to us to fail. Like, he only allows us to be tested when he knows we have the capability to succeed. That's what a good father does. So I think what Jesus is doing, he's masterfully setting up his disciples. I want to ask you the question, did he cause the wind and the wave? Did he cause the storm?
No.
No, he didn't. Some of us just need to stop right there. Some of us need to camp right there and develop a theology that God really is good. He's such a big target sometimes for our criticism. When he's like, I'm not causing this. I'm the cause of your victory. I'm not the cause of this stuff you're facing right now. Now, if you press into me, I will give you the keys to victory to overcome this thing. But I'm not causing your circumstance. He will, though, listen, he will use circumstances that we face to help test us. Listen, to really test to see, do we know and do we believe what we have inside of us? Better yet, who we have inside of us. Are you with me?
Yes.
So I think what Jesus is doing, he has set up his disciples right here I mean, come on, and let's give the disciples some credit right now. How many know these are not like land lovers? A lot of these guys are experienced fishermen who know the lake. It's their primary tool. They wake up every morning and they go on that body of water. And so, listen, I wanted to say this. Our experience in life can either work for or against us. Come on. These are experienced fishermen. They know the lake. They know how to maneuver a boat. And when these guys are freaking out, I'm just telling you right now, they have a reason to freak out. This is a big, bad storm. They've been in storms before, and that gave them information. That gave them experience. I got to just believe, because I know fishermen, I try to believe I am one. And I know what happens when you're done after a long day of fishing, right, men and women? Do we have any women fishermen in the house? Come on. Yeah, my mom, certainly. She's the best fisherwoman in our family. But I know what happens after a long day of fishing. You sit around and you tell stories. And the stories grow the size of your fish. Hallelujah. But they tell stories and they talk about, you know, what was working over here and where fish were biting over here and we got in trouble over here and, you know, just, and you got to know, listen, you got to know after storms like this, when they're on the shore, they're talking about it. How many know, come on, let's just be realistic here. How many know there were probably fishermen who lost their lives in storms like that? So they all come back and, hey, anybody seen Sam? No, I haven't seen Sam. Oh, did Sam go out? Yeah, I saw Sam go out this morning. I wonder if Sam didn't make it back. And you find out later, Sam didn't make it back. In a storm, listen, just like this one, our experience can work for or against us. They have a lens. Listen, they've trained themselves to see, to interpret circumstances taking place around them. And I just want you to know, in the natural, storms like this mean we're going to die. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so they're freaking out, rightfully so. Water's coming in, waves are overcoming the boat. And they turn to Jesus. I don't know what they're expecting, but Jesus deals. Listen, when he wakes up, he sees the same set of circumstances, but through a different lens. And I want to ask you this morning, what do you see? What do you see? How have you trained yourself to interpret your circumstances? Do you look at life through a natural lens? Or is there room, listen, in your worldview for the supernatural to invade this natural world? Look, not so that the supernatural looks like the natural, but so that this natural world has to bow to the knee of the kingdom of God and its king. Even if you don't have a paradigm for it, because how many, look right here, how many of you know, somebody doesn't rebuke wind and wave and have there be a calm. That doesn't happen in this world. That's their paradigm. That's what they're working off of. Nobody's ever done this. We woke them up. I don't know what they were thinking, but he deals with it. There's a calm, and they're freaked out. Who is this guy? How many this morning would just say, Lord, would you create in me a paradigm, a kingdom paradigm, a supernatural paradigm that says, when your world invades this one, and that is my assignment as a kingdom advancer, having your world invade this one so that this world looks like yours, not the other way around. Yeah? Yeah. I should probably preach my sermon now. Let's see. Where am I? So, yeah, I'll never forget And matter of fact, this young man was in our service last weekend, he and his wife and their child. But when I was a youth pastor, some of you heard this story before, I would take kids down to Mexico, and about three of those trips, I think I did nine of them, about three of those trips experienced rain, like severe rain. And I'm just doing that, that's a bummer on a missions trip, especially when you're camping. Right, and that's what these kids did. They would camp for a week, and they're living life out of a tent. And one trip was so bad, we were digging trenches to make canals for water to run out of a camp. It was just, bless God for youth ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. I missed that day in Bible college, trench digging for mission trips. But so this trip, it had rained all night long. You're asking what us leaders did? Well, we were safe in a camper. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyways, so we wake up the next morning, and the kids, their luggage is drenched. Sleeping bags are soaked. And we had a break in the storm. It's clear skies and really sunny. And so we're hanging out, you know, laundry and all this stuff. And so the report came from the missions director that there's another storm coming, worse than the one that we just went through. And we look out in the horizon. Sure enough, there's this ominous, dark, huge, massive cloud on its way. It's making its way towards us. So we sit down with our kids, and we have about 100 kids, and they're sitting there looking at us like, what are we going to do? It's miserable. And we just begin to pray and worship. And I told the kids what the deal was. And after worship, you just begin to feel hope come, and faith just began to rise in hearts. And so I stood up and I said, listen, we're going to speak to the storm, and we're going to command that storm to cease. And so as we worship, I invited them, if any of you just sense a faith in your heart to rise up and just declare, you will not come near us, and we command you to go back where you came from, just go ahead and do that. And a young man stood. He was sitting in our service last week. He stood, he's probably 15, and he just stood and said, storm, you will not come near us, and we command you to go back. It will not rain on our mission trip, and we'll do what we're called to do. Anyways, didn't rain another drop for the rest of the week. Yeah, come on. Come on. Thanks God. Thank God for that. Yeah. So, I pray that young man will never see circumstances quite the same way. I pray that all 100 of those kids would have a new lens to interpret natural circumstance because they see things differently. I also think Jesus was really intentional. How many just know he is intentional? How many thank him for that? He is so intentional. So intentional. I love having him as a coach that way. He's just precise, just intentional. It's like he's not gonna waste words. His words are loving and kind, but he's gonna be just very intentional, direct with us. And I think what was happening here too, listen, I think Jesus was setting the disciples up to be the world changers he was teaching them how to be. How many of the, here's what world changers do. Look this way. And by the way, I'm looking at a room full, and I mean this, full of world changers. When you signed up to follow Jesus, that's what you signed up for. To change the world. How many know that world changers do something that's never been done before in this world? I'm gonna rest in this uncomfortable pause. Because it's true. Nobody's ever rebuked the wind and the wave. Jesus, you don't understand. We have fished this lake for years. Nobody has done what you did. Jesus, when he woke up and said, oh, you have little faith, what was he saying? you could have done this. World changers do things that have never been done before in this on this world. World changers. I think Jesus was setting them up to say, I want you to, listen, you'll never forget this, but his response is so amazing. Basically, he was saying, hey, look, yeah, I did this, but why didn't you? I could still be sleeping, enjoying my nap. Hallelujah. You guys could have done this. Giving them a new lens as world changers. I want to just give you a couple things real quick. If you want to be a world changer, hang out with world changers. Now, some of you are just going to say, yeah, that's a cool word, and never do anything about it. Others are going to take me up on this, and I want to challenge you and say, if you want to be a world changer, hang out with world changers. I mean, the more the disciples hung out with Jesus, listen, they are learning things all the time, and yes, they were still... How do I say this nicely? They were still missing the point. Bless the Lord at his crucifixion. And we went over this on Easter Sunday. But listen, the Holy Spirit comes and reminds them the things that Jesus instructed them and breathes on it, sets it on fire. That's just a good word right there. And they become world changers. But listen, they hung out with him and had that which is required for the Holy Spirit to ignite. So by hanging out with a world changer, you are equipping yourself and putting things inside of you that the Holy Spirit can then begin to breathe on. And you find yourself changing the world too. Come on, some of you are getting this, some of you aren't. I can tell. Wrestle with this, but get this. Okay, get this. So what does that mean? What does it mean to hang out with world changers? Like, I don't want all of you, you know, texting a Bill Johnson tomorrow. Can we hang out, man? Because Pastor Reggie said, I mean, right? All the big ones, right? That's not what I'm saying. But here's what you can do, and I challenge you in this: read their books. Devour their CDs. Find people. I'm just telling you right now, there are people in this room who are changing the world, and you're just seeing the beginning of it. Follow them. Don't harass them. Follow them. Remember how the story started? Jesus gets in a boat, and the disciples followed him. I just love that about the Lord. You don't see him. It's not Jesus gets in the boat and he's calling. Hey guys. Oh, there goes Peter again. John, go get Peter, man. He's always wandering off. Hey, Mitch, anybody seen, you know, John here? Come on. Oh, there we go. We're always chasing his disciples down. Man, we had 1, 2, 3, 10 of us. We were 12 when we started. Come on. Judas is working somebody for money again. I mean, come. You don't see him doing that. That was funny. I don't care who you are. You could have laughed at that. All collected and put together. Laugh! So you don't see him chasing disciples around and babysitting. How many just say amen to that? He wasn't babysitting. He was raising up world changers. And if they're going to change the world, guys, I'm going here. You follow me. I just want to say this for you and your training. More is caught than taught.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. Like, don't sign up for Changing the World 101. I mean, you can. God bless you. Chase down all the conferences on world changing. I mean, go for it if you have the money. God bless you. I just want you to know more is caught than is taught. And by these guys just watching Jesus, listening to him, and how many know a good teacher, when you're done sitting under them, you have more questions than answers. that went over like a brick, bless the Lord. But it's true. And they're good questions. Listen, I just say it this way. When you're under a good teacher, you end up with more right questions than answers. You can have a lot of questions, and some of them aren't right. But the right questions, those ones that just stir a hunger in you and stir a burning in you that say, I've got to find the answer to this. Like, that was so awesome. How many know this too? When Jesus does stuff in you, he might deal with that one thing and you're blown away by it, but there's 100 other things now because he did something that you're now wondering. Hello. Evidence, Jesus wakes up, deals with the one thing, the storm, and the disciples are left saying, what in the world? Yeah. Like, we were expecting something cool, but not like that. Wow, who is this guy? So what do you see? What do you see? Just go ahead and close your eyes real quick. I want to just bless you and impart to you some things. I just want you to know faith has eyes. Faith has eyes. It causes you to see. And faith doesn't come by trying to muster it up, doesn't come by trying to work at it and squeeze out more faith. If I only had more faith. Faith comes by resting in his presence and learning from him, right? Didn't Pastor Leslie say this last week? I want you, here's another way to say it. Faith comes by the one you look at. And if we gaze at our circumstances long enough, we will have faith in them. If we gaze at the one who loves us radically and is so incredibly committed to us, is so encouraging and affirming, if we gaze at him long enough, we'll begin to believe him. And so what does this boil down to? Some of you, it's like it's a one-string violin, and I'm sorry, but what does it boil down to? It boils down to your intimacy with your daddy. It boils down to that. And so I just want to bless you in intimacy this morning, and I want to stand in line for myself, listen, that we would all come into this place that says, Father, I want to learn intimacy with you. I don't want to have a bunch of head knowledge about you. I know a lot of things about my wife, but that never equates to intimacy with her. Spending time with her alone, because tax season ends tomorrow, bless the Lord, paves the way for intimacy, glory to God. Shaka boomba, baby. Just because it was getting too serious here in the room for a minute. So I bless you, 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 I bless you. And Holy Spirit, I just release you now to breathe on the flame inside of them. Breathe on that flame, oh God. Breathe on that flame, blow, blow. Holy Spirit, blow. The flame that's inside of us would become a raging fire. God, a raging fire. I bless you with that. I just sense the Holy Spirit resting on many right now. And I bless you with the fire of God. I bless you with the fire of heaven right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, yeah. I hear the Holy Spirit saying some of what he's doing right now is he's wanting to consume the dross, and we're not going to get into that whole teaching, but you know what that is. He wants to consume the impurity. We release him to do that. Just say, do it, God. I surrender that to you. I want the full fire of heaven on me now, 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 on my family, on my family, on my home and my neighborhood, God. The fire of heaven. I just declare that I'm a fire carrier. I carry the fire of God. I was born to be on fire for him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just declare this over yourself. I was born to be a world changer. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. So God, would you teach us to see? Teach us to see. Teach us to see. World changers look at circumstance differently. Thank you, God. I want to bless you with this. Just keep your heads bowed. I want to bless you with this, though. Your experience was never meant to be that which defines or interprets your life, your past experience. Listen, God wants to teach you how to have kingdom dictate and impact your experience. Two different ways to look at the body of information you've lived with all your life. We can interpret it through a natural lens. Oh, I've been here before. This is what happens when these things happen. Another bad report. Another bill. Been here before. Notice on my job about, you know, a pending layoff. Oh, been here. Here's what happens when these things take place. Been around the block here before. Or you can say, God, I belong. I'm a citizen to another kingdom, not this world. And it's that kingdom. It is my citizenship in heaven that I want to live out right now. And in your world, 2 + 2 never equals 4. God, show me the math. Show me the math. What are you working out right now? What's the equation you're working on right now? Somebody say amen to that. I better stop preaching. God bless you guys.